Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord, and we welcome you here, and we welcome those who are watching us on Facebook Live. Let me tell you something. There is nothing better than walking up to this podium knowing that God's in control, that His Spirit is in control of this service, and it's just a wonderful feeling. And the reason I say this is this last song that we just sang, they will know we are Christians by our love, and it goes so well with my sermon today, which is, we're going to continue into our theme of the fruits of the Spirit, and today we're going to be looking at the first fruit, which is love, and Scripture tells us that Jesus says that they will know that we are His disciples, how? By our love. And so what a perfect song that God has chosen for us to begin this sermon with. That, and I really just love it. It's got a good upbeat, and even Arden sounds good singing that song. Well, Scripture says make a joyful noise, and he is very good at that. No, Arden actually does a very good job, and we're blessed to have a worship leader like him. I thank God for him and Karen every day because I can't play a piano. And I'm not sure I can make a joyful noise every Sunday. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and remember last week we spoke about the fruits of the Spirit, and we talked about the fruits of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit and where each of those two types of fruits come from. It's pretty evident the fruits of the flesh come from the flesh, and they are not of God. They are of this world. And then we have the fruits of the Spirit, which come from the Spirit, but it's how we receive them from the Spirit that is so important. And do you remember how do we receive the fruit of the Spirit? To be able to receive it, we must do what? We must walk in the Spirit daily. We must be sanctified daily, which means that we grow in Christ daily. Amen? So it's a blessing that God has given us His Spirit that we can walk with daily. He can sanctify us daily, that we can grow and be more like Christ daily, and then they will know us by our love. And the first fruit that we're going to speak about this morning is love. I don't think that Paul put these in any particular order other than the very first, love. I do believe that that should be the first because it's the most important of the fruit. So if you have your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the key to understanding the qualities of these fruits is a natural result of growth. And one thing to remember is when we receive these fruits of the Spirit, like we talked about last week, we don't get love today and peace tomorrow and joy 2 weeks from now. It comes as a bundle. It comes like a bouquet of flowers, like we spoke about last week. When we receive these fruits, we receive them all. And don't worry about giving too much love or having too much joy or showing too much peace, because the fruit of the Spirit is renewable. Just like God's love, just like His blessings, just like everything else that He produces, we cannot run His well dry. So we are to do all these things all the time without any worry that we're going to run out. Amen? So the first one that we're going to talk about is love. And so if we look in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39, it says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we spoke about that last week as well. So they were trying to trick Jesus again, just like they did in the story of the Good Samaritan. And they asked him which was the greatest commandment, and he answered correctly that it is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And then he says, and a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. A second is like it. So Jesus is saying to love our neighbors as ourselves is right there next to loving God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. So that tells us that to Jesus Christ, other than the first command, this second command is the most important command we can follow. And to be able to follow it the way the Lord commands us to follow it, then we must receive it from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can produce within ourselves. Amen. You see, the English word for love has a very broad meaning. We use the word love, the English word love, for all kinds of things without even really thinking about how we're using it. This morning I got ready to leave my house and go to Sedgwick, and I popped in and told Jessica, I said, I love you. I'll see you in Julesburg. She says, love you too, and I'm gone. Before I hang up the phone, I tell her I love you. She said, I love you too. We hang up the phone without really stopping and thinking about what we just said, because it has become habit to us. It's not a bad habit. But then Saturday morning, Lindsay made some cinnamon rolls. And I said, man, Lindsay, I love these cinnamon rolls. Which I did. They were good. But that's the earthly and the English type of love that we are used to, and it is not the kind of love that we're talking about today. The kind of love we're talking about today comes from the Greek word of agape. This is God's kind of love. It's a kind of love that is not emotional, it's characteristic. It's a love that we choose to have. But it's characteristic, which means it's seen in us, it's delivered by us, it's an action, it's something that we choose to do. And it's something that we don't take for granted or use as a habitual word like we do the English version of love. It is a choice to be kind, to sacrifice, considers another's needs greater than our own. That's a choice that we have to make. When we see that someone has a need and we choose to meet that need, or we see somebody is struggling, whether it be spiritually or emotionally, and we have the ability to help and meet that need and we meet it, we have made a choice. We choose to do these things. And this is the kind of love that we're talking about when we talk about agape kind of love. It's God's kind of love because God chose to love us enough that he sacrificed his son for us. That's not earthly love, and that's surely not the English version of love, but that is the most powerful and godly kind of love that we are willing to sacrifice. Agape is used in all of the hard love verses in the Bible, and we'll look at a couple of those. Greater love has no one than that he lays down his life for his friends, John 15:13. That's not worldly love. That's not the kind of love that we could ever produce without the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the kind of love that says that I am willing to lay down my life for any one of you if that is what is required of me. Now, I would find it probably pretty easy to lay down my life for my wife and my children. But if we are to be honest, can we say that we would be willing to lay down our lives? I would hope I could do the same for you because I love you all and I consider you my family. But what about everybody else? What about somebody I hardly know? But yet, sometimes that's required of us. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. From the very beginning, God has said that we should love one another. Love It's one of the most used words in the Bible. It's one of the things that God and our Lord Jesus describes and talks about more than anything else is love. God loved us so much that instead of just wiping the earth clean and starting over, He made a plan of redemption for us. Amen. And then here's a good one. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Not only are we to love our enemies, but if they are in need, we are to meet that need and expect nothing in return. Whew. I have a hard enough time forgiving my enemies. Amen. But God says that we're to love them. And if we see a need, that we should meet that need if we have the ability. And here's the kicker. We have to meet this need and love them from our hearts. It can't be fake because God knows our heart. Amen. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to be like God, love your enemies. You want to portray God, love your enemy as you love yourself. Again, that's a pretty tough one. For this is the love of God, that we keep the commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So if we have this kind of love that God is talking about, the kind of love that He commands us to have, then serving Him should not be a burden to us. Everything that we do for God should be done with joy. It should be done with happiness. And it should be done with the idea of what a privilege it is that we get to do it. But a lot of times, if we're honest with ourselves, we walk around like sad sacks. Man, I got to do this for God today. That's not the kind of love that God talks about. That's not the kind of love that we're showing Him. When we stop and think about what it's going to cost us to do God's will today, we can't count the cost. Scripture says, don't count the cost. Just do it with a joyful heart. And we should, because He loved us beyond measure. We can't comprehend the kind of love that God has for us. It's because of this love that God carried out His plan to save the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That pretty much says it all. He sacrificed His Son to pay our debt, that we could be reunited with Him. We just spoke a few minutes ago about how awesome it must be for Patty and for Mary's son-in-law to be face-to-face with the Lord right this moment, being able to worship and praise Him in person. But the only way that was able to happen was God sacrificed His Son, and His Son was willing to accept the responsibility of being that sacrifice. That's the agape kind of love that God commands and requires of us to everyone. Not just to a select few, not just to our family and friends, but to everyone. It is only by the agape kind of love that we can keep the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to look real quickly at four examples of this kind of love. And the first example, or it's not really an example, but it's the nature of this kind of love. What is the nature of this kind of love? If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and a lot of people call this the love chapter, and what a beautiful chapter it is. Probably some of the best writing that Paul did. And it talks about the kind of love that God has for us, but it also shows us what this love is not. which is also very important. So 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burnt but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. So if we have the ability, the gift, to speak in tongues and of men and angels, but we do not have love, then we're doing nothing but making a bunch of noise. I remember my kids, when they were real small, Jessica thought it was a good idea to get them this little toy, little piano thing, and they'd just sit there and dang, dang, dang. Just drove me up the wall. And that's the kind of noise we make when we have no love or we show no love. It's just rattle. It means nothing. And if we have prophetic power and understand all mysteries and have knowledge and we have enough faith to tell this mountain to go from here and move over here, but yet we have no love, we have nothing. The Lord's telling us that without love, none of these things add up to nothing. If I give away all that I have and deliver up my body to be burnt, but have not love, I've gained nothing. The Lord is not going to look at anything you do for your neighbor if you do not do it in love. And the kind of love that I'm talking about is First Commandment love. Second Commandment love. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Love God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. He wants us to love our neighbors that way as well. So if we help our neighbor for the neighbor next door could see it, or it just makes us feel better, then we have wasted our time and we will gain nothing. We will not receive good judgment for that kind of works. Amen? Don't agree? And then when we get into verse 4, we start seeing what the nature of this kind of love is. It says it's patient and it's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not arrogant. Remember who Jesus, this describes Jesus perfectly. Jesus was the most humble person to ever walk this earth. None of the miracles that he performed, none of the things that he did he boast about? Did he take credit for? What did Jesus say more often than any other time in the Gospels? He used one phrase more than he did any other, and that is, I do this to glorify my Father. I do this to glorify my Father. I do this to glorify my Father. Everything Jesus did was to glorify the Father and to do the Father's will. And so if we have the kind of love in us that is given by the Holy Spirit, then everything that we do like this will be done to glorify God. Amen? Not ourselves. We seek no glory. We seek no recognition. It's all done for the glory of God. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not insist on its own way. It's got to be God's way. God's way is perfect, amen? Our way, not so much. It's not irritable and it's not resentful. Now, let's be honest. Have you ever been irritable? I have. Yeah, every once in a while. Not often. Have you ever been rude to somebody? Again, guilty. So we're not perfect, and so when these things take place, we can't beat ourselves up about him so much. But what we got to be careful about is if we're rude more often than not, then there's a good chance we're not walking in the Spirit daily. We're not being sanctified daily. Because as we talked about last week, when we look at the spirit of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, if we're sanctified and walk in the Spirit daily and we grow in Christ daily, then the things of the flesh will decrease and the fruit of the Spirit will increase. Now, when we get to the point where we're hardly ever rude or hardly ever irritable, or we can see a change in those things, then we know we're on the right track. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. What we have to look for is the growth. When we have growth, then we know we're in a good spot and we're being sanctified, and the Holy Spirit is helping us become more like Christ each and every day. And then verse 7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. I can promise you one thing, and just one thing, God will never fail you. Never. It may seem at times that he has, but more times than not, well, every time we realize it wasn't God that failed us, we failed to follow God. We failed to be in his will. We failed to do what he was seeking for us to do. So God will never fail us. His love will never fail us. And if we have this kind of love being produced in us by his Spirit, then there's less times that we will fail. Less times that we will grumble when we help our neighbor. Less times that this kind of love requires us to sacrifice. And sometimes it requires us to sacrifice a great deal. This love is the noblest of loves. It means you seek only the best for everyone. You endure anything and everything. You believe only the best about everyone. You only speak the best about everyone. You sacrifice yourself even to the point of giving up your life for others. This is the essence of agape kind of love. Did you hear what it said, though? It says that you seek only the best for everyone around you. You endure everything and anything. You believe only the best about everyone. Everyone, not just some. You believe the best about everyone. And you only speak the best about everyone. Ooh. Put a big old F on my forehead because I fail. Jesus is requiring that we speak well of everyone. The guy that cut me off this morning. Everyone. And then it says that we're supposed to help everyone, regardless of who they are, what they may have done to us. But that's the kind of love that God produces in us through his Spirit. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Again, we go back to Jesus says that we should love one another enough that we would be willing to die for one another if it came to that. In verse 17 in 1 John, it says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Again, that is something that we really need to look at, because it's saying anybody's need. If we see somebody has a need and we don't meet that need, if God gives us the ability to meet that need and we refuse to do it, then how can we say that God's love is in us? Because God's already done it for us. Sometimes the need is small. Those are easy ones to do. But sometimes the need that we give to another requires a great sacrifice from us. But who else other than Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice? And if we are supposed to be Christ-like, then we must meet the needs of others. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." We've all heard that old saying, actions speak louder than words. You know, we have a hurting community. We have a hurting country. We have a hurting world. I keep repeating this, but it's okay. I have never seen our country in this shape. I've never seen our world in this shape. And it's because people don't care anymore. They don't care about the right things, I should say. They're more worried about offending somebody than they are in speaking truth. And part of when it tells us that we need to meet others' needs, part of that need that is needed to be met is to be speaking the truth, tell them the truth. What greater need could we meet as Christians than speaking the truth about Jesus Christ to a sinner? They have no greater need on this earth than to know the truth of Jesus Christ if they don't know him already. But yet we're afraid to hurt their feelings. But if we are led by the Spirit, then the Spirit will show us exactly how to speak that truth in love and kindness. That's the catch. Love and kindness. And then verse 19, it says, "By this we shall be known, for this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him." This is the characteristic love of God. "Yet while we were still sinners, Christ laid down his life for us." So if we do these things, verse 19 says, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Then we can reassure ourselves that we are doing God's will and we are in God's heart. Like I said a moment ago, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are never more like God than when you have love for your enemies." So we need to ask ourselves, is this the kind of love that the world sees in us? Us sitting right here. Is this the kind of love that we are portraying? Can the world, can our community, can other Christians see Christ in us through our actions, through this kind of love? The next thing is example. Where do we get an example of this kind of love? If we go to John chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you." So how did Jesus show his love? Well, right before this in verse 13, what did he do? He washed his disciples' feet. Remember, we spoke about this a little while, or last week, I believe, that they were so consumed with arguing about who was the greatest disciple that they forgot about washing their feet when they went up to the upper room to have supper. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus shows love and humility by washing his disciples' feet. He lowered himself to the most humble type of servant, because back in those days, that's who would have washed their feet, would have been the lowest of the lowest servant. But yet Jesus took that upon himself because he loved them. And he took it upon himself to do these things, to teach them, again, because he loved them. And then, as we go further into the chapter, he does something even more amazing to show his love for his disciples and his love for us. And that was, he walked up Calvary's hill and he died on the cross. He gave up his life for his brothers. He laid down his life for his friends. You know, Scripture tells us that we are no longer the Lord's servants, but he considers us his friends. Amen? We are joint heirs with Christ. He considers us his friends. He considered us to be his most valued creation. And all he asks is that we show that same kind of love to one another and to our neighbors. And then he also commands us to have this kind of love. Again, like I said last week, the Lord, or God the Father, commands us to do so many things that we just can't do. The only way that we are able to meet these commands is by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So God commands us to do things that only the Holy Spirit can do in us. So we praise God for the Holy Spirit, otherwise we wouldn't be able to meet these commands. But in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have this kind of love for one another." It's not our works. It's not what we say. It's whether or not we can show this kind of love that Jesus is speaking about. And this love is only produced in us one way, and that's through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And for it to be produced by the Holy Spirit, we must walk in the Spirit, which means Christ has to be the very first thought in our minds in the morning and the very last thought in our minds when we go to bed. I know for me personally, if I let my day get started before I seek the Lord, then I find it very difficult to catch up. Even if I start thinking about the things I have to do today before I seek the Lord, I find it very difficult to catch up and seek him later because all these things are already in my mind. So if we seek him first, then there's a better chance that we'll walk in the Spirit that day, which means we'll be sanctified that day and we will grow in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." If you think about it, when Jesus was crucified, he sacrificed himself to the Father for us, that we could be redeemed and we could have a relationship with the Father. Amen. We are commanded to love as Jesus loves. We are to walk in the same sacrificial love. Colossians 3, chapter or verse 12 says, "But put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And above all these, above all the other things that Jesus tells us to do, we are to put on love first, because it's this love, this agape kind of love, that binds everything else together. It's this kind of love that takes the fruit of the Spirit and makes it into this beautiful bouquet. But it's the love that has to come first. Amen? And then finally, where does the power come from to have this kind of love? We've spoke about it all morning, so I ain't going to spend a lot of time on it. But if you look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You know, when Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to pray to the Father and ask him to send you a comforter, man, he prayed and asked for so much more than that. The Holy Spirit doesn't just comfort us, but it is God himself who dwells within us, who gives us all the ability to do the things that he commands of us. But yet when we read that, we think, well, that was pretty nice of Jesus to send comforters for his disciples because they were going to be sad that he was gone. So we have to stop and realize what took place that moment that Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit. For without him, we would have no hope. For it is he that shows us the truth. While we were still sinners and lost in this world, it was the Holy Spirit that walked beside us. And it was the Holy Spirit, as he walked beside us, that opened our eyes gradually to the truth of Jesus Christ and who Christ was. And then once we accepted our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Spirit immediately dwelled within us and started teaching us things that we could never know, and giving us peace and joy and self-control and love. But one thing to remember is it's a gradual process. So if I'm rude to you tomorrow, forgive me. I'll try to do better. If I'm rude to you the next day, you might want to remind me, hey, where are you walking? It sure ain't in the Spirit. But if I'm only rude to you once a month, and then it's every 4 months and every 6 months, then pray that I continue to walk in the Spirit because I'm growing in Christ. And as long as we have growth, then we'll have this love and we'll be able to be better friends to Jesus. We'll be able to do more work for Jesus. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within in us that allows us to be this witness. But to be this witness requires so many things that we can only achieve through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in closing, let us remember the last verse in chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, which reads like this: so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these are love. Friends, in a nutshell, there is nothing greater than the love that we show for one another, the love that we show. You know, when we show this love for one another and for our friends, and even for those that we don't know, we're truly showing this kind of love to God. If you want to worship the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, then love as he commands us to love. And you notice it said everyone. We are to love everyone this way. Impossible to do without the Holy Spirit. So we thank God each and every day for him. Amen. I know I do. For without him, woo, it'd be tough. Love. What a precious gift that we've been given. And so let us remember just to share it with all that the Lord puts before us and allows to enter into our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for this love that at times is kind of hard to comprehend. I'm not sure that we can fully understand this love, but I do know that your word tells me that the Holy Spirit, if I will allow it, will produce this kind of love in me. Father, help me remain vigilant in my desire to be sanctified each day and to walk in the Spirit every day, that I may become more like Jesus. Father, give me a desire in my heart and in my spirit to be more giving, more loving, more willing to help, that the world may see you through me. Father, I pray this for each and every one of us that is sitting here this morning. I pray it for all my Christian brothers and sisters around this world, for it is this kind of love that is our only hope. So, Father, I give you praise and I give you glory this morning, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.